Welcome back on the first Monday of 2021. Let's head down to Delamere, North Dakota, where Terry Waylander, chairman of the North Dakota Corn Council, farms. Hello, Terry.
Hey, Mick. What a beautiful day for January, huh?
I think winter's over. I was outside a little bit ago, and it feels like a mid-March day out there. Winter was short.
Yeah, I know. I talked to a few people that usually like to get out of here during the winter, and they said if we could have a winter like this every year, we'd stay home every year. But with COVID, there ain't much traveling, so I understand why there isn't. But, man, what a beautiful fall and start of winter, huh?
Yeah, that it is. It's a just a great day, so let's enjoy it while it lasts. We know the other shoe is going to drop sometime before we get the planting corn again this spring. So, hey,
it makes it a little more tolerable.
Yes, indeedy. Hey, we got the news over the weekend that Mexico wants to deny GMO corn from being planted, and by 2024, deny its import. That was kind of a weird news story. I didn't expect.
Yeah, it really was. It caught me off guard, and I mean, we're still learning about it. Really haven't got a lot from U.S. Grains Council, who we partner with on a lot of stuff. So it's been kind of a head scratcher here. But as of now, from what I get out of it, it's mostly their food grade corn, which is the white corn that they're raised themselves, pretty self sufficient on, and you know, for the tortillas and tortilla chips and all that. So as of right now, as far as our number two yellow corn that they normally buy from us and, you know, for livestock feed, right now we don't think that's affected, but we don't know. It's just kind of blindsided of us, so we're learning every minute we get an update.
Well, that's what the Corn Council, U.S. Grains Council, that's what the task at hand is now. Find out and report back to the growers, huh?
And that's what's so huge about partnering with U.S. Grains Council. And, you know, I've been fortunate to be able to go on corn quality rollouts to Mexico and Taiwan and been in Japan and Colombia, which are all in our top five buyers and stuff like that. So there's a lot of boots on the ground. I know I've said it before and stuff, but it just, I don't think people understand how much the U.S. Grains Council does for us. You know, when these things arise or, you know, anything that happens, you know, they get the intel from their people in the countries and then relay it back to us. And then whatever we can do to go help them and, you know, to try to reverse that or sell more product. It's a wonderful handshake agreement we have with them.
And a little birdie told me that you will be participating in a U.S. Grains Council corn quality rollout with a group from Southeast Asia and just talk about the quality of this year's U.S. corn crop.
Yep, and that's, you know, like I said, I've done some traveling to do that, but now it's all virtual. We did a couple back in November, or October, November. Can't remember which month it was now off the top of my head, but I got a couple more coming up that we'll do virtually again. And, you know, after we met with South Korea virtually, within a week we sold them 1,015 million metric tons. So whatever we said they must have liked and stuff, but anything we can do to keep moving our product, you know, like I've said before, North Dakota is so landlocked and, you know, we rely on either ethanol plants or the PNW or the small amount of livestock we got here. So the PNW is huge. So we got to speak to, you know, the Asia countries and, you know, let them know what our quality is and, you know, give them a little virtual farm tour. Like we went to the Spike Farm and Ranch and did a very nice video. It turned out great, and you know, got to thank the Spike family for doing that for us. And you know, it's just, there's so many, you're juggling to try to figure out what's the best way to do it, but when we finally got things to come together, it worked out great. So we'll probably be using these videos again, and you know, thanks to Columbia Grain and Spiritwood, you know, it's just everything to bring it together and, you know, get people to make these videos with us. And it's just, it's different. I'd rather be there in person because you can kind of read the faces when it comes to the interpreter. You know, do they believe what I said or they didn't understand what I said or, you know, and then we can talk through it. We're virtual. It's a little hard to do that, but I think we're still getting our point across.
Yeah, well, whether it's virtual or video, it's still a victory, isn't it? Because obviously they bought a bunch of corn from us.
Oh, absolutely. Anything we can do to move product, you know, to reduce the pile, that's why we get on the board and, you know, try to better the life for every corn farmer in North Dakota, and that's what I work hard and strive to do.
For sure. Terry Waylander, Chairman of North Dakota Corn Council. All right, what do you think about, you know, this is a, if this was a late March day, it wouldn't be too long, you'd be thinking about sticking corn seed in the ground. Are you going to plant more corn acres next year, this spring, or do soybeans entice you more?
Well, I hope we plant more of everything, because last year there have been plants and some of our wetter ground and stuff, but I don't know. I ordered about what I usually order on a normal year as far as seed goes between corn and soybeans, but, you know, there's still a lot of winter left and still a lot of marketing left between there. So, you know, as of right now, I'm kind of sticking with my old game plan, but, you know, markets dictate, in South America don't get any more rain. You know, maybe beans are going to be the winner, but I like raising corn. That's what I like to do.
Corn is just a fun crop to raise, isn't it? I mean, you stick it in the ground, 4 to 10 days later, it's shooting up there and growing tall, and yeah, corn is fun to grow.
Yep, and then the next thing you know, it's waist tall, and it's over your head, and it's just bushels, and it's just fun to, you know, during corn harvest, you know, everybody knows, it's just, everything's moving around, and beans, it's a little slower paced, and I don't know, it's just something about raising corn that I think a lot of producers in our region, they really enjoy it.
Yeah. So the bushels of the on the yield monitor at the end of the at the end of the harvest season were pretty good. What was the quality of the 2020 corn crop?
Oh, the quality was, compared to last year, it was excellent. You know, the yields were up and down. Some of it got nipped by that early frost, maybe lost a little yield due to maybe some test weight issues, but for the most part, all our test weight was above 56 pounds. We had some tickle 60, so, you know, it compared to last year where it was a train wreck, it was just a great corn harvest, and, you know, we had about a week hiatus there when it was snowing and stuff, but then it turned beautiful. We got everything finished up. We got everything we kind of wanted to get done finally, and even some stuff that we haven't got done for the last couple of years, because I always said it, 18 or after 18, 19 couldn't get worse than 18, and that just kept carrying on. To last year was an absolute pain, so it was a nice fall, no doubt about it.
Yeah, like Dan Lund says, smile, things could be worse. So I smiled, and sure enough, things got worse there. 2019 yeah. Compared to 18, yeah. So, yeah, this is better and a great start to 2021. And we're about a month away from the Northern Corn and Soy Expo.
Yeah, we are. So we're going to do that virtually this year, and I believe as of January 1, you can start signing up for it and getting registered. So I hope everybody that wants to be involved would come on, and I think we got a pretty good group gonna be speaking, and you know, Ty Morgan and stuff is gonna be part of it with the U.S. Farm Report, and that's always good information and good banter back and forth with people we bring in for them, and it's gonna be different not to be able to interact with people at the show, but I sure encourage and hope that people, you know, come. You know, they could be sitting in their shop, in their house, on their PJs or whatever they want to do, but be a part of it and take on, because like I said, we search out and we find good people and informative people and education, you know, to educate and hopefully to help make any producer a little bit, maybe a better producer, a smarter producer, and that's kind of our game plan and our goals.
Yeah, and if people don't have to, you know, make the trip to town, worry about the weather, rent a motel room or anything. We're not going to get the great breakfast and lunch provided, but again, we'll look forward to that next year. The Northern Corn and Soy Expo, and people can just go to the website, ndcorn.org, and get registered and get ready to participate in the Northern Corn and Soy Expo next month. Get registered this month. So, all right, well, Terry, thank you so much for the visit. Thanks for the good work you do and just helping create markets and expand markets and demand for U.S. corn. And let's all go for a drive and burn some ethanol.
Absolutely, Mick. I totally agree. And anything we can do to help the North Dakota corn farmer. We're trying our best, and I just want to thank you, like always, for everything you do to get anything we need to get out to all the farmers out there. I appreciate everything you do for us.
Well, back at you, Terry. Thank you very much. We'll chat with you again one day real soon.
Sounds good, Nick. Take care.
In the meantime, enjoy the weather. Alrighty.
Yeah, you too.
Will do. Terry Waylander, North Dakota Corn Council Chairman.